Blog Talk Radio.
From Ajijic, Mexico, on the shores of beautiful Lake Chapala, it's Music Scene Fronteras. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan. Don't forget, this is your show. Our guest is here to talk with you. So you can call in 917-889-3068. Now, keep in mind, that's a USA number. So if you're in Mexico, you have to add the plus, or you can email us. Email us at musicscenefronterasmx@gmail.com. Well, I want to welcome all of our listeners on the Blog Talk Radio Network. And pardon me. I had a sandwich just before we came on. I still got a few little crumbs in my throat here. Let me get a drink of water. Okay. All right. Well, I want to say hi to everybody on the Blog Talk Radio Network, the CyberStationUSA.com network and their radio affiliates. And also hi to everybody on the Artistic Echoes and Canal Side Radio Network in England, who, of course, are going to hear us tomorrow, all right? So if you're listening to us on a rebroadcast later tonight or on a podcast in England, you can still email questions for our guest. We'll forward them to the guest, and she can answer them directly. And as always, remember, we are in Mexico, which is a joyfully musical and sometimes pretty noisy country, even during the stay-at-home period, because we're in lockdown here. Our studio is downtown, and our soundproofing, of course, is pretty good, but the owner of the complex next to our complex has decided that since all the offices are closed, it's time to remodel. So you may hear some power tools or hammering going on. You may also hear the gas truck or other delivery vehicles. And once in a while, a police car comes down the street broadcasting a stay-at-home message from a loudspeaker set on the roof, which is how they do things in Mexico. Otherwise, it's pretty quiet, okay? Today, we have the honor of talking with a fourth-generation Irish musician, Siobhan O'Brien. Siobhan immigrated to the U.S. just 4 years ago, and she has carved out a unique niche in American music. Her songs can be haunting, they can be inspiring, or they can be get-down blues rock. Every lyrical word and every musical note hits you, and it sticks. You just want more. She has earned a coveted place in the hearts of thousands of fans, whether it's in New York City, her home in Virginia, or a studio in Austin. She's become a powerful American voice, but with a little green lilt to it. Monday, she's going to release her third album, You Can't Run Out of Love, which showcases her magically clear voice and her unparalleled songwriting. She blends American folk, blues, country, and rock with traditional music from England and Scotland and Ireland. You don't want to miss this. O'Brien has performed with Bob Dylan, the San Diego Symphony, and the Chieftains, among others, which is quite a range if you stop and think about it. But best of all, she's here with us today. And I want to say welcome to her. Siobhan, welcome to Music Scene Patrick. Fronteras.
That is such a nice intro. Thank you very much.
Well, you deserved every word of it, okay? I love it. This is an Irish artist talking from Virginia in the USA to a Mexico station in on a program that will be rebroadcast in England tomorrow.
Wow, that's great. Maybe I get some fans in England. You know, my grandparents came from England. Yeah, the four generations that you're talking about.
Wow.
The great-grandparents came from Blackpool in Lancashire in England. So that's pretty funny.
Well, first let me say I love the album. I love its range, lyrics, and I really love the way it showcases your voice. But I have a question about it. Your first album was released in 1996, and then you built a career and released Cat's Eyes in 2005, and then Songs I Grew Up With in 2008, and then Siobhan O'Brien in 2011, which is an album every 3 years. But this album is 9 years from the last one. So can I assume it's distilling 9 years worth of life and living, including immigrating to the U.S., into 10 songs?
Yes.
Is that why it's so powerful?
God, I don't know. I think you know, since I moved 3 years ago next month, I'm in Virginia, but since I moved, you know, it's a massive change. It's so massive. You know, everything is different and everything, you're adapting all the time. And it's new experiences and you're learning a lot about yourself. And I think a lot of these songs come from me learning about myself and my new self all the time. But I mean, honestly, the reason for the gap probably too is money. It's very, very expensive to bring out a record. And, you know, I'm an independent artist and I was working as a special needs assistant in a primary school in Ireland for 12 years. And I just gave them my resignation. We have a thing called career breaks. So I was allowed to take up to 5 years. So I still, if I had wanted to, I could go back in September, but I said, no, I'm going to push through with the music. Of course, then COVID hit. But anyway, so it's very, very, you know, I've had a house and a, you know, a job and a son. And, you know, so I was just doing all that. And you have, all the money goes to living. So
yeah.
I have financed and produced my own, all of my own records and CDs since I started. Okay, I had a couple of tapes like when I was 18, 19, 20. My first EP, which was the first CD, was called Mumbo Jumbo, blah, 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 with four songs on it. And that did pretty well on the Irish radio nationally. And then that did so well that, you know, all the DJs that were playing and everything, they were like saying, oh, you need to bring out something else so soon. And I'm like, I haven't even finished paying for the last one, you know. So I did that and it didn't do as well as the first one. And it's just, you know, it's just a lot of money. It's a lot of blood, sweat and tears that goes into this every time. And,
well,
you know, every musician listening knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah,
so
I
was very fortunate from moving here. There was some kind of a, you know, people were interested because it was new. I was new to them. So I did a Kickstarter campaign that funded the PR campaign and the radio promotion campaign. And they're all coming to an end now at this month. So I'm on my own again, you know. So
well, we're trying
just,
that too.
You know, it's just very, very difficult to get all of that together for one person, you know.
Yes.
So that's kind of more of the reason why.
I hear that from a lot of artists, and congratulations on being able to do it.
Thank
it
you.
It occurred
yeah.
to me that being the niece and granddaughter of renowned musicians also has its pros and cons, and which you probably know better than anyone. But every musician I know who's hailed from a musical family, whether it's Sal Santana or Ali J, they tell me their family's music runs in their blood, although sometimes they're the only ones who can hear it. How much do you reach back and pull from the songs of your family, or are they always kind of there below the surface?
Yeah, they're probably there below the surface. I mean, on the music side, my mother is a singing teacher, and my grandfather was a conductor and a music teacher, piano and violin, and his parents had the Travelling Opera Company that started the Boyer Westwood Opera Company, which was like, you know, 1910, kind of around then. So that musically definitely, and they are from opera and classical up to even my mother. But her brother was a show band star in Ireland in the 60s. So he branched out of that whole classical opera, you know, even though he can do that too. Yeah, I'm the black sheep that is kind of modern in the face of all of that. But I still love opera and I still love voices and I love, you know, a technically good voice. But I also like a technically bad voice that has heaps of emotion. You know, it doesn't matter to me what the voice is like as long as there's something coming through that is connecting. But then on my father's side, he just has an absolute adoration of music. And he did play guitar and sing a bit, and his sister did. But all of that family sang, you know, their family get-togethers and the neighbors coming in on a Saturday night. And, you know, back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, that was all part of Irish family households. So everybody sang. You all had to do a party piece. So, and Dad would listen to a record in the morning before having breakfast, like. And so his record collection was huge. And I learned so much from all of that. And he always wanted me to be, you know, he got me into Bob Dylan when I was like 13. And he'd always, oh, listen to this, listen to this. Oh, you should need to listen to this. And it was such a wide ranging album collection that he had that I listened to every genre. There was like jazz, blues, not so much country. I learned country from the local bands that were playing in Limerick when I was 18. And, but yeah, I mean, I really had it on both sides. And plus on the O'Brien side, my father's side, there's a few songwriters in the family there too. My cousins in California are songwriters. So I think the writing side came from my dad's side and the music came from my mother's side. So, you know,
well, it obviously worked because, yeah. You write music that is that does connect very well. In fact, the title song, You Can't Run Out of Love, which I think you wrote with Jude Johnson, is stunning. And I want to play a little bit of it. Let's just play a little bit of this. I know that song is dedicated to struggling mothers and fathers around the world. Can you tell us a little bit about the inspiration?
Yeah, I have a friend at home in Ireland, and she is sick with fibromyalgia and ME, and she had three boys already, and next thing she was having another child. And it just was the struggle of all of that, and kind of people judging you for actually getting pregnant for a fourth time as well. And I felt bad that I wasn't there for her. And I just one day was out walking and I came up with that phrase, and I texted her and I said, look, you can't run out of love, you can't afford to, you just have to keep moving, you have to keep going. And so I had written the second verse and the chorus and most of the song, and then I was in Nashville and I asked Jude Johnstone to help me finish it. And she did an amazing job, and she wrote the first verse and tied it all together. And it was amazing. And, you know, I actually just heard from her this morning, so I hope she's doing well. And it's now, because of what's happening now, it feels like it's, not an anthem, but I mean, it's the phrase is a good phrase to have a positive thing going on all the time, you know.
It is. It very much is. You've said this album is about transitioning and acceptance and adventure and risk-taking.
Yeah.
But the music is so sure-footed. It's so natural and so appealing. I wonder why I'm not sure why it seems like a risk. I mean, you've mastered the American pantheon, and you know how to flavor it with your Celtic roots. So,
thank you.
But I'm wondering, do you not feel like you transitioned?
Probably not yet, no.
Okay. Sounds like I'm embarrassing.
The risk is more about the financial risk, the risk of me leaving everything I know and love and at home in Ireland, and really just not being able to deny myself the burning desire that I have inside of me that can't be tamed, that I have to do this, that I just had to sacrifice everything else to do this, and I have to do it, and I have no choice. I mean, I do, but the alternative is that I won't be happy, so I have to do this.
Sure.
And that's kind of where that risk is coming from.
Well, hopefully your family understands that.
They do.
I'm
they're
sure.
100% behind me. Yeah.
You know, there's a song in the album that explicitly addresses immigration. And it may be about your immigration. You'll have to tell us. With some very startling poetry. I want to play a minute here of The King's Fool.
Now I am an immigrant. I left my son, my home, my life, my family, my word. Forever I will roam.
I have spent a lifetime unlearning my conditioning. When the chatter in my head gets loud, I pray for pure transitioning. I love the poetry, but
thank you.
You're not the dancing bear or the fool described in the lyrics. So what's the inspiration for those words?
Well, I am actually, and I feel like we all are, because I feel we're all playing a game at some point in our lives. I mean, it's a very hard way to live right now. And I don't even, I mean, pre-COVID, you know, I mean, we're all trying to get ahead, and it's nice to be able to love your job. But like most people don't, you know, most people have to just do what they have to do to get where they need to get to. And if you can eventually get to the place where you do love your job and everything is lovely and cozy, well, great. That's fantastic. But I feel like, and I'm, it's not that I hate compromise. I just don't like conforming. And I have such an instinct inside me that I have to do what I have to do for myself. And that's just become very apparent to me. But I have to do things that I don't want to do. You know what I mean? So I feel like there's a lot of people feel that too, you know? And so we're all kind of the dancing bear, the king's fool,
put it that way, I see what you mean. We're getting some emails in, but let me just remind everybody that we are talking with Siobhan O'Brien, and you can talk with her too. You can call us, or you can email us. Many of you are emailing us right now, so why don't I just go to the email? We got one here from Tampa, Florida, from Billy. Wants to know, how much of the United States have you seen? You seem like you know it pretty well.
Not enough. I still have little tick lists that I need to tick. I obviously want to see the Grand Canyon. I want to see New Mexico. I'd love to travel across the country. And I haven't done, like, I had a fantasy when I was a kid that I wanted to build a log cabin in Colorado. I still haven't been to Colorado, but I think that could be Montana or Wyoming yet. I would love to build like a straw bale house or a log cabin or something, you know, up in a mountain somewhere. That's my fantasy. I'd love to see the South more. No, I haven't done a lot of what I'd like to do. And it's, there you go again. When I came here, I'm still in Virginia, and you know, I thought with music, I'd be able to see everything, and I will eventually, but it's like, because I had to stay and make a living to actually go and do what I need to do. That's why I haven't seen the rest of the country. You know what I mean? But that's just, we all have to do that. And that's, it'll come in time. And I really, I want to do that. Yeah. Thanks, Billy, for that question.
Prissy in Los Angeles wants to know, what was touring with the Chieftains like?
I didn't tour with them, but Paddy played Illan Pipes and Low Whistle and Tin Whistle on two songs on that album that I brought out called Songs I Grew Up To, which was based on my dad's record collection. And so Paddy played on them, and then he asked me to play with them in Boston Symphony Hall. So I just did the Lakes of Pontchartrain with the Chieftains in Boston Symphony Hall. But it was amazing. I mean, when I did it in 2008, it was like the biggest thing I'd ever done. And it was so nerve-wracking. But I remember my mother was on the line, and Aileth McCormack, who sings with the Chieftains, held the phone up for them to hear me. And my mother was saying, just breathe, just breathe. And so I was deep breathing, and, you know, it was fine. I felt like all of my experience in my whole life came into that 5 minutes of keeping it together on stage in Boston Symphony Hall. You know what I mean?
Obviously you did. One more email yeah. here, and this is from Summer in okay. San Francisco. And I love Summer in San Francisco. Summer writes, have you ever returned to Ireland and toured? I've been to Dublin, and I've been amazed at how much American rock and roll is there.
Yes, American music is huge in Ireland. Of course, I've been home, yes, but I haven't toured there since I left. And I was planning to do it in June, and now this COVID thing hit. So I don't know when I'm going to do that, and I don't know. I need to strategically plan when I'm going to release it in Ireland and then hopefully do a tour around that. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to doing that. And, you know, I'd like to do that a lot.
Yeah. See your family.
Yeah.
You know, you've done a lot of performances. And if we have time, maybe we can talk about meeting and singing with Bob Dylan. But first of all, there's a performance of yours that really intrigues me, and that's singing with the San Diego Symphony. You certainly have the voice for it, but I wonder, how did that happen?
That happened. A friend of mine, Sarah Petit, is from San Diego, and she's friends with obviously a lot of musicians there. And there was a guy called Brian Baines, and he plays with them every St. Patrick's Day. And he's the one that gets the Irish program together for St. Patrick's Day for the San Diego Symphony. And he's actually passed away a couple of years ago, but he was looking for somebody. And Sarah said, well, my friend Siobhan. And they said, yes. And so I did. And I did about four songs, I think, with them. Some Irishy songs, and then one was a Scottish one, Go Lassie Go, you know, that Wild Mountain Time Scottish song. Yeah, so that's how that happened.
Is there a recording? I mean, I saw the video of your concert at Ocean Beach
there,
in San Diego.
You know what? They record it because they record everything, but you're not allowed to have it.
Oh, yeah, because of all the rights. Yeah.
Yeah, so I couldn't even take photographs or anything of the night, which was kind
of, too bad.
You know, not great, but anyway.
Well, in that case, let me ask you about the other performance. How did you meet and sing with Bob Dylan? I'm sure it's a story you've told a lot, but we'd love to hear it.
Well, it's a very long story, so I'll just synopsize it.
Maybe we get the short version.
I sang for him is what happened. I saw him coming out of a hotel in Dublin, and I said to him, oh, hi, Bob, I have a tape. I just want to give it to you. Can I just give it to you? And he was like, no. And he didn't say that. He was just like, he just didn't want anybody coming near him. And I just said, look, I don't want to annoy you. I'll go away. I just want to give you this tape. And then he wouldn't, you know, stop. And so I stamped my foot and I said, hey, look it, I sing. And he turned around and he goes, well, sing for me. So I sang, babe, I'm going to leave you. Tell you when I'm going to leave you. And sing the verse of that song. And he said, sing another verse. And I sang another verse. And then he goes, let's walk this way. So he brought me to the gig and he asked me to sing The Fox Went Out in a Chilly Night with him. And I said no, because I didn't know all the words of it. And he goes, maybe you will, maybe you won't, and that's okay too. And he was really lovely. And he brought me to dinner afterwards. And it was in Dublin, so it was the restaurant was Bono's brother's restaurant. So we were all in there. And Bono is actually a fan of my uncle, my mother's brother, who was a big showband star in Ireland. So my cousin had seen him 6 weeks previously in Las Vegas when you two were playing there. So I was able to talk to him about that. So he was telling Bob Dylan that my uncle was the Elvis of Ireland. And Bob was saying to him, oh, she came to my hotel. She was just there. She sang me these lovely songs. And then he asked me to sing for them all around the table. And that was Bono and Edge and Chrissy Hynde and Elvis Costello and the Hot House Flower.
God.
So
what
that's
a night
the small
that
version of it.
Wow. Well, we're closing in on the end of the show, but there's another song on the album that is so much fun and very intriguing. It's called The Burger Song, and I'm going to play a little bit of it, and then I'm going to ask you about hamburgers and raw egg yolks. Here we go, The Burger Song.
Okay.
Driving rock music. I'm dancing in the studio with my headphone extension. But when I listen to the lyrics, and I do listen to the lyrics, and I hear words like stalk out your homes, rip them down to the ground, self-control lets become all too rigid, the truth is found in seeing. I have to go back and listen again and wonder, okay, did I miss something there? And of course, you know, I hear the chorus about double burgers and raw egg yolks. So I've got to ask the question that I never ask songwriters. What is that song about?
Well, okay. I woke up in the middle of the night and wrote all that down and went back to sleep. And the next morning I said, what in the hell is this song about? So I don't really know. All I know is that I wrote it a long time ago, and I was heavily influenced by my mother, who is staunch Catholic. And the stalk out your homes part is kind of a reference to the lamb's blood over the door. Those are the houses that would not, that they wouldn't take the firstborn or take the firstborn, was it? And I felt like it was kind of an anti-establishment thing, you know, that they're kind of doing that to us all the time, and we have to be careful to just, you know, mind ourselves mentally and not be stupefied into not so much conforming, but kind of just going along with what they're telling us to do all the time. You know what I mean? I feel it's very important not to conform, and kids should be taught that, you know, and they need to be taught to ask questions and just, you know, anyway, so I'll eat my burgers by the double and drink my egg yolk raw is basically saying I will do whatever the hell I want. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm glad I asked, you know, like I say, I never, ever ask a songwriter that, but in your case, I'm really glad
asked. Yeah.
Well,
I wish
I could play the rest of the album, because the album is quite a range to it. It's got ballads and rock and love songs and just everything in it. There's something there for everybody. I've been burning up Spotify playing it this week and listening to it, but we do have to leave. Before we go, I see that you have concerts listed, but I suspect they've been postponed. So are you going to do any live streams to support the album?
Yes, I did a really lovely one last night from my friend's balcony here in Arlington, Virginia, and I'm thinking I'm going to do one of them a week. So you need to get on and like my like page, because I'm nearly up to my 5,000 friends on my own Facebook page. So if they can, just my spelling, okay. S-I-O-B-H-A-N-O-B-R-I-E-N. Yeah, my like page. Actually, you can put in at Siobhan O'Brien Music Girl, and I think that goes straight to the like page.
Okay.
My Instagram, I think I'm going to do one song a day as well, maybe starting next week.
That's a lot of work.
On live. So, yeah, but I mean, that's, I'm not gigging, so I might as well be doing that.
You're not going anywhere else.
No, and my website is SiobhanO'Brien.com.
Okay, all right. And Monday, the actual album will be released, is that correct?
Yes, yeah.
And where will people be able to actually buy the album or download it?
You can buy it from my website, SiobhanO'Brien.com, and it's gone on all the other streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, just loads of other stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, and also, if you are doing your Instagram stories, people, use some of my songs. They'll be available on those little stories. You can search my name and my songs, and they'll come up. So that's pretty cool. It'd be nice if you could.
It is.
And you can
tag
me and put them into my story. I'd love that.
Don't you love the internet and social media?
I know. Well, what else would we do without it? We'd be goosed.
You'd sell more albums. But anyway, that's a different conversation.
Well,
all right. Siobhan, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. And thank you for all the great music you give us.
Thank you so much, Patrick. That's really nice. And you were very complimentary. So thank you very much. Thank you, people, for emailing in and being interested in my music. And I really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll see you soon when we all go back to touring.
That's Siobhan O'Brien. Check her out at www.siobhanobrien.com. And you should, if you can, download the album. It's really something you want to have in your collection. And like I say, it's got something for everybody. Well, you have been listening to Music Scene Fronteras with me, Patrick O'Heffernan, from the CyberStationUSA.com network, the Blog Talk Radio Network, and our radio affiliates. Like our Facebook page and follow our Twitter feeds, and you'll get some real-time updates on our guests. Our producer is Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Bartleben. You can download us on as a podcast on blogtalkradio.com, or we're also on iTunes, too. You can download the podcast on iTunes. Tune in next week. We're going to talk to the Turn Back the Clock Gang. Now, this is going to be lots of fun. There's a lot of different kinds of music involved in this. So check out our Twitter stream and our Facebook page, and we will update you. In the meantime, have a great musical weekend. Tener un fan gran fin de semana musical. And I'm going to play a little bit more of that great song, The Burger Song. Here we go.